As I always say, all our meetings are very important. And this, as the portfolio committee, we've taken a decision that we are starting to wind off, because 2019 is upon us and we would like to have a handover report that's going to ensure that the people who are going to take over from this portfolio committee are going to have an insight of what the portfolio committee has done. And we are also planning a strategic planning session where we are going to invite the people that we invited in 2014 when we took over from the other portfolio committee, and they gave us a picture of what things were like, and now we want them to also, they'll be like our mirror. We will be looking at the mirror that shows us how we look as the portfolio committee. And as we do that, definitely the department is going to be part and parcel of our winding off, so that we clarify issues, we ensure that the information that is here is the right information, and so that the information that people get is what has actually transpired. I'd like to welcome you to this meeting and to thank the Minister for the occasion of the South African Cultural Observatory Conference that we attended. I mean, it's really important for us to attend these conferences, although Parliament feels that attending a conference, then what? But I think the people appreciate our presence, and we find time to network with people, and we find time to share with them the ideas that we have. And it was a wonderful idea, although we had to rush off to the airport and the flight was delayed, and we think, oh, we should have stayed in the conference if we had known earlier. But it was a good conference, and we are hoping to get the presentations that were presented there as the portfolio committee, so that we get the full picture. And also just to say, Minister, that the international ballet competition that I attended the final day of that competition here in Cape Town at Artscape. As I was sitting there watching the last act, it was unbelievable. And I asked the organizer, why don't you have at the end of each session, you have people commenting so that you capture as they go out how they feel about the performance? Because it was social cohesion at its best. Because Bantula was meeting ballet there in Bengingazi. Bantula meeting ballet, and it was an awesome experience. You see white people there watching Bantula. And you know, it was just one of those experiences. And as I was sitting there, I was saying, we need more of this, because this is social cohesion, where you would have people who know Bantula, who like Bantula, watching ballet, and people who like ballet watching Bantula, these two come together. And you know, the experience was awesome, and I think we need more of those experiences, especially when you look at this week's anti-racism campaign, where we're looking at issues of racism, and the department is charged with that. It's the responsibility of the department to ensure that there is social cohesion, the issues of racism are addressed, because if we don't address these issues, we will really our part, which would be really regrettable. I would like to welcome you to this meeting, and can we have apologies?
Good morning, members. Good morning, everyone. Chair, we have an apology from Memo Khosi. She has just been discharged from hospital. She won't be attending this meeting. Uma Motsoaledi will arrive late due to the cancellation of flights yesterday. And we also have an apology from Uma Mopilangulu, who is attending a study group in water and sanitation, but she might join us a bit later. And also Mr. Gomle is attending, taking Parliament to the people in the Eastern Cape with the NCLP. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Those are the apologies. Honourable members, those are the apologies. Honourable Tuledi did call me to say, hey, this issue of flight, it's terrible, and it's really affecting our work. So her flight in Bloom was cancelled last night. So she had to take an early flight today, and is going to arrive here at about 11. She's going to be here at about 11. So she did call me last night. And the issue of Mr. Gomle, I think this is one issue that is really biting us as the committee, because we don't have a permanent content advisor. Since Damko left, we don't have it. And we have written letters to the administration here, and we are not getting any joy from their response. And I am going to raise it again with the House Chairperson, because the administration here has not responded well to this issue. And it's an issue that's really retarding our business as the Portfolio Committee. Are we accepting the apologies, Honourable Members? Apologies accepted. Thank you very much. We are now going to hand over to the department, to you, Minister, for the department, just to give us the reason why we are having this meeting is to look at how far we have gone in addressing the recommendations that were made by the Portfolio Committee. And we have always said that as the Portfolio Committee, we make a finding, we make a recommendation. And that recommendation, sometimes the recommendation is something that the department cannot implement because of the prescripts that they are using. So the department should say, we have addressed this recommendation, this is how we do it, but this recommendation cannot be addressed because we are operating within this prescript. And also, what I wanted to bring to the attention of the department is that when the recommendations are adopted in the House, they are sent to the department. Whatever recommendations are adopted, they are sent to the department. So I find it really funny for the department to come in. What recommendations are you talking about? I find it really, really funny, because they are sent to the department through the Speaker's office. Immediately, any recommendations are adopted. So this is why when we say, give us your progress, in our minds, we know that these recommendations have been sent to the department, and the department has started to work on them. So this is why when there was this communication that was going back and forth, I was like, really? Because I believe strongly that the recommendations were sent by the Speaker's office. Thank you very much. Over to you. I don't know this thing. But you are trying to address this thing.
Okay. Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. Good morning. Perhaps just to start by saying that the department would go to details in responding to what has been done on different aspects of the recommendations and for specifically the entities. But just for me, Chair, to say that sometime last year, I wrote to them, the Minister of Finance, raising two issues. One, CRAP 103, which the DGs, we instructed the DGs to work on it, both DGs of finance and of arts and culture. So they are working on that. Secondly, I also wrote on the remuneration of the council, of the entities under us, because our focus is primarily on these 25. Others we deal with is a bonus, but these are what we are responsible for. And the officials then were asked to work out the issue of the remuneration. I got an update last week that it is being finalized, and it seems like we are going to be having a positive story very soon, taking them to a much higher notch than where they are. And this is the entities under us, arts and culture. The other area is the area of term of office. Here, the funny thing is that we would have to amend the act, which obviously will come with the white paper process, because it's stipulated there. And there is no tangible rationale I can advance why was it put that way, but it can still be changed. Last area I want to talk on this is the meeting with the entities, which some of them would have to be briefed about the developments as we're discussing. We spoke with the chair on this matter, and we consulted, but after consideration, we felt that we need more time with different sections of the entities. The first of such series of meetings would be with the performing arts entities on the 30th. So the venue would be Gauteng, but we'll get the details on this, and we are setting up others as well. I just thought that I needed to pass on that, because it's not in the preservation of the department, as it were. But also just to remind each other, Chair, that whatever we do, as we have said even last time, should always do it within the understanding that this is Madiba's year and Ma Sisulu, and also at the back of our mind, as we are approaching also the Human Rights Day, the 40th anniversary of Professor Mangaliso Sobukwe, we decided that wherever we go, we preach this, so that it becomes, it reached the peak which it's supposed to. All the events that are related to the centenary celebrations are centrally coordinated at the president, and the arts and culture plays part to that process. We've been looking at the number of areas. We thought that one of the areas we need to share for further follow-up with the portfolio committee is the fact that we have released the recordings of the Rebonia trial to the public now. But remember, a few years ago, we were working to intervene on technology and deal with the obsolete one, which is the Dicta Belt, which was discontinued in the country here in the 80s. Now, a wealth of South African history is stored in this Dicta Belt. We have learned through our Rivonia Trial Dicta Belt project just how vulnerable our audiovisual records are due to obsolescence, lack of skills, resources, not just in South Africa but worldwide. The area of archives is critical for any nation. Part of the reason why you have successful nations is those who are able to keep their archives for posterity, but also for the present, to help our people as we move forward. Now, this trial, this Rivonia trial, is more than 230 hours, so from the beginning to the end, and it is available online, and there is an address, www.nationalarchives.gov.za. So it would be important that we get feedback from the members of the portfolio committee on these ones. The last point, the last part one I want to raise is the seasons program. You would recall that when we came in 2014, where the department had this program of seasons, that is the exchange of cultural, artistic and heritage programs with other countries, but mainly it was the West countries, it was France and UK. We said then that no, we need to extend it to involve BRICS member countries and Africa as a whole. So with BRICS member countries, we have interacted with the three partners at BRICS, the only one left which we have started to exchange for the preparation for next year is Brazil. India, we went, and India, South Africa made an impact, especially in the film industry. The film which was selected as the best actor is Galushi, Solomon Matang film, by Mr. Dube, and we again are closing this week the South Africa Russia season. So it's South Africa season in Russia. How I wish members of this committee were there. People who are there as MPs, Umam Kaula, Honorable Nyambi, Umakubele, they are there. And a member of the Democratic Alliance, Honorable Member, will be joining today, the team there. But it's an accidental, visit, because they are there for something else, for the elections in Russia. So they benefited with this South Africa system. So basically the highlight is that there's been this traditional gap. All the nationalities, Zulu, Xhosa, Ndebele, and so on, which has been on display, and Russians have asked or offered to help with the market and pricing of our traditional gap, and to set up exhibitions, and here this is one of the exhibitions which was set there, the selecting shipping material, the selecting and the shipping of the material. They are offering that, which is great for us. And they had exclusively, and these are people from grassroots, they had more than 200 people attending, particularly on the traditional camp, as we close the season. They also had exchanged our entities, had exchanged there, the museums. Izigo is there as well. Freedom Park, Ditsong is there. And there is this other one, Ese Barberton, the heritage. What is it called? Yeah, it's in Mpumalanga, a Barberton heritage entity is there as well. Looking at the preservation and collection of artifacts, and Russians are sharing with us. They have these artifacts. They are using technology. They have kept them. Some of them are as old as coming from the 14th century. So we are sharing with them on that and what to do. They also have people with a disability, those who are partial and totally blind, using what is called tactile material technology. And again, we want to find a way of getting that to our shores here in South Africa. They also look at the audience development, because you would know, honorable members, that here at home we have a challenge with that audience generally. But one of the things they are saying, which we know, is that they, from birth, develop this love for arts, culture, and heritage, and groom people from birth. As they grow up, they have others like sport as second priority, but this area becomes their first priority. We have what actually stole the show there is the fashion show, Urich Mnisi. And Rich Mnisi, I think, is in his 20s, 26 years old or so. Rich Mnisi is employing, as a fashion designer, three people full time on his own, small as he is, and so on. We have a lady called Era. She also employs three people. You have Ungongolo Latuma, who employs 25 people. These are permanent people working for them and so on. But with other people there, president of the Russian fashion show was really amazed with South African talent and capability, especially our design. He had a specific mention of that. And together with the DG, who's leading the delegation, they started a discussion on the birth of BRICS fashion show. Because you know that at BRICS, already we have the film show, which I've just referred to earlier on. But now it looks like there's going to be the birth of fashion show. And on this, they beamed this thing to more than 40 TV stations, including SABC. And they had more than 700 people watching there on the spot. They were also taken, the honorable members who are there, they were also taken to Moses Kotan and J.P. Marx graves, because Russians honored us. They said even though we exhumed their mortal remains, but our space is not going to be occupied by anybody. And this is a very important area of important people. You'd remember President Boris Yeltsin, President Nikita Khrushchev, those who are older, such people who lay buried there. So, honorable members, I think there is a lot which is happening which we need to be sharing and find a way of actually participating in. I noted what the chair said last time about interacting and visiting, doing study visits, and even some of the visits with the delegations, very important, because the very same entities you do oversight over, you'd have to know what else do they do, how do they interact with the world and so on. And lastly, Chair, the Matsamo Cultural Village is a beautiful sight to watch. The ACPD branch is already interacting to look into what model and what assistance, what intervention can be done by arts and culture, understanding that that's a cooperative, and with all the challenges of cooperatives, but it's something important to preserve. Seeing is believing, interacting with them was a pleasure. There is hope for culture and heritage, because one of the things they are saying is that they preserve Swazi culture so well that some of the schools and some of the cultural organizations are complaining from Swaziland now, are complaining that they are stealing their people, because people go here. They don't go to some in Swaziland. They say this is the real thing. And when we came there, with a lot of people there from Germany and from France who were attending and so on. And they are saying that it's growing, and I could see also. And they are now developing quarters, because people come there and they want to sleep. They come from all over the world, but they have to drive long distance to where they will sleep and so on. And I'm certain that they will definitely see our role there, which in the main would want to ensure that such a thing is preserved for society. It's a good thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. When we came from Motsamo, I had that picture in my mind for the whole week. It was stuck in my mind. The music, dance. I think that thing is beautiful. I had it for a week in my mind. It was really an awesome, awesome experience. And we are glad that the department is going to assist, especially looking at the mandate of the department within that operation, those operations that are taking place there. On the issue of the entities, Minister, as the Portfolio Committee, what we had said was that we need to have an engagement with the contingent that was here in November. Those chairpersons and deputy chairpersons. But I think if the department feels that they need to, because this is what the department has been telling us since 2014, that when we ask them, do you bring these people together to have cross-pollination of good ideas, to do this, that, and that, to share ideas, to share solutions, the department came up with this response that, yes, we do. But we cluster them according to their mandate. And as the Portfolio Committee, we said administration is cross-cutting any entity, whether it's a museum or an art institution or whatever. There's that area that is administration. And there are problems in that area. And it would be good to bring them all together under one roof so that they can begin to share experiences and just to see, okay, this is how they are dealing with this in that area. Maybe it's an art institution and a museum. So they can share ideas. And this is what we were hoping would happen in that November meeting, end of November meeting. And because there were many issues that were raised there in that forum, we thought it would be good to bring them back together to say, you raised these issues, and these are the responses to those issues that you raised. And there is a discussion, and there is a common understanding in all these entities to say, okay, this is how, because if you talk about where does the power lie, it cuts across. whether it's a museum or a market, a theater or whatever, it cuts across. So it means all these people that are accounting authorities would have this common understanding of, because if, as the portfolio committee, this is what we were suggesting, that can't we have them under one roof, the way that we had them there, so that these issues, as you have said to us now, there are issues that are being addressed already in those issues that were raised there, and there would be issues that still need discussion, maybe there for them to have better understanding of those issues. So that at the end of that meeting during that day, everybody would be having a common understanding on administrative issues. It's okay with their mandates, you can have them in their, you know, categories to say we are having the museums here, there and there for whatever. But this is our suggestion. This is what, as the portfolio committee, we wanted to achieve. And calling them, the department calling them and us calling them, and you know, we thought it would be good if we called them once and for all. So that, because these people are working, they are being paid to attend a meeting, and they would not have time to be called by us while the department is calling them. So this is why we're saying, if the department within the meetings that they have with them would call them, and maybe invite myself to go, and so that we address these issues, they are not left hanging. Because as it were, we would have to call them as the portfolio committee to and call the department so that these issues are addressed. We are not seen as people who are doing hit and run, but we have these issues addressed, and we know that people have come to a common understanding. This is how we saw it as the portfolio committee, that in your meeting, if you could find time, we are prepared to come so that we can share the experience of that meeting that we had, because it was not a good meeting. That meeting left us frustrated in one way or the other. So it would be good for us to come together and say, this is the understanding, and the department explain to them. Because some of the issues that were raised there are issues that, as the portfolio committee, we can't resolve any of the letters there. It's the department that has to respond to those issues. And like, for instance, they didn't find joy in having to fundraise for heritage. They were saying, us as entities go out there to fundraise for heritage. What is government there to do, you know? So these were the questions that they were raising. And I think it's important then for the department to respond to them in our presence, so that we know that these things have been sorted, and maybe discussions between the department and those, the accounting authority of the entities, should take place, so that everybody is clear of what should happen. Because this is what we were saying, Tina, as the portfolio committee, find space to fundraise, because the department cannot have all the resources, you know. And the issue of the regulations of lottery, not giving money to the entities that are getting funding from the department, that also has affected them. And we were saying, looking at that, can't you do your own fundraising, find a way of getting some resources? And they say, in that meeting, they said, what? We fundraise for heritage. Then this government is not serious about heritage. So those issues being discussed and everybody coming to a common understanding. When we say this, this is what we mean. This is what has to be done. Honorable Hotbom, you seem to be having to say something?
No, Chair, thanks. I think the department didn't answer you correctly. I need these entities. I meet with them under one roof every year. If they meet them in groups and so on, they do that. As I told you, Chair, that they, for instance, with the playhouse, as you raised that, they raised problems. They said really they have no problem with the department. And that's the chairperson of the, who was there of playhouse. And there will always be issues, Chair. There will always be issues. You see, for instance, for me, this is a non-issue. Whether they fundraise or not, they have to work within what they have. If they can't expect government to give them more than what they get, as it were. So I think I have a clear understanding of the entities. I call these officials, but it becomes my meeting. I meet them, they talk, they fight, they from 2014. They fight, they raise issues. The point where we are now, with the last year's meeting, which was the last one, they aren't fundamental problems. That's why it would be important to really understand what are these things which are being raised. Because the issue, for instance, of the term of office, they've been raising that. I've been asking what can be done with the term of office. What can be done with the issue of remuneration and ending up writing. By the time you met with them, some of the people here were already meeting with the treasurer on the issue of remuneration and looking at what needs to be done with the remuneration. So I think that perhaps within a month or so, this thing would be dealt with and so on. So I wanted to make a point that the department may be meeting the entities from different angles and different categories, but I meet them every year as the minister. I meet them with my deputy, but these officials also come, but the meeting becomes clear that it's my meeting with the entities. So they should actually respond correctly, because if they leave an idea that there's never been a one room, not once, meeting all of them under one room, they're not giving a correct answer.
Thank you, Minister. Kilebogile was in that meeting. Can you just give us a sense of what transpired in the meeting?
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Minister. In that meeting, basically as a department, we went to listen and to respond to some of the issues. But indeed, there is a chairperson forum, Honorable Chair, where Minister meets. Exactly, they meet where Minister signs the shareholders contract with the Minister or the entities.
Can you tell us what
or what transpired? Mm-hmm. I think mainly the main issues that they raised were the issues regarding the remuneration that was raised, that the amount is very limited. And the other issues was the term of office, that, you know, the 3 years doesn't give them enough time to settle. And I think the other issues that the entities raised was the issues of, you know, around governance issues, you know, the chairperson's role vis-a-vis that of the executive. So those issues, those black lines. So, and also the issues of budget. They came out very strongly that the budget allocated to them is very limited, and they are not able to really raise and deal with some of the issues that they have to deal with.
In your sense, in that meeting, was it like a meeting where they were raising this thing for the first time, or was it they have raised these issues, and what was the response of the department? Because I believe that if they had raised these things and have they had a feeling that these things are being addressed, why would they raise them in that meeting? I want you to give us a sense of what was happening in that meeting and what those people said in the meeting. Honorable members, if you can also assist in this, because I want the minister to be clear of what actually happened there.
Honorable Chair, I think in that meeting, honestly, the chairpersons were like, we've wanted to say things, and we've never had an opportunity to raise some of the things in that meeting. That was the sense, and I don't know why, because they are chairpersons of the entities. They wanted to raise a lot of issues, and it's like the department, they've been talking to these issues and not resolved. But I think we're able to respond to some of the issues that they were articulating on that particular day. That was that sense that I got, especially when they were raising some of the issues, and I was like, okay, maybe this is a platform. These are things that they've always wanted to raise, but I think this has given them a platform. But I must then, Chair, indicate that besides the sector forums that we have, Minister does meet with them at least twice a year with the chairperson.
Okay.
And CEOs and chairpersons meet with the minister twice a year.
No, thanks very much, Chair. I think we all realize that there are issues that need to be discussed and resolved. Chair. I think she's correct to say that after the portfolio committee has invited that particular meeting, the people present at the meeting, your chairs, deputy, and CEO, we're happy that that particular meeting was called. We're happy that they had a platform to raise issues that continue to frustrate them almost time and again. And I think Chair is right that some of the issues that they raised as a portfolio committee, we can't deal with. The department must deal with them. And we have issued a report to a department. Good that you were in the meeting. You still capture the issues that they raise. And it can't be that there are no issues. Issues are there. I don't know when they met with the minister at that level, what issues they raise. But sitting here, all of us, we know that in that particular meeting they've raised issues. And we all agree that those issues are important and they need to be dealt with. They are issues and we need to deal with those issues for the sake of progress in those entities. Indeed, Minister, she's right. When she said that platform allow those people to ventilate a number of issues. I think there's a report, I think you're supposed to get it. You go through that particular report, and I don't think amongst us here we disagree with the content of the issues raised in that report as the issues raised in that particular meeting. So there is a need to deal with those issues. Thanks, Chair.
You are fine, Honorable Members. Okay. I think Honorable Makonda is right to say that there is a report, and maybe if you can look at the report and maybe compare the issues that were raised in that forum with the issues that are being raised with the department. But and maybe to just indicate to us if you will be able to call the meeting so that we plan, we include the planning in our parliamentary plan, because it's important for us as the portfolio committee not to leave that thing hanging there. We need to have that forum again so that we respond to some of the issues that were raised there. As you remember, there was also something about the lines of communication, and I did talk to you about it, that when you communicate to the CEO of the entity, who does the board know that there is this communication that has gone to the CEO? And you said you would rectify that. Whenever you write to the CEO, you copy the board, because that's what the board, those members that were there were saying, that we are the accounting authority, but there are issues that go on in the entities without us accounting authorities knowing. So that was one of the issues that was raised hotly in that meeting. And the issue of achievement of targets, because we raised this issue to say, you come up with targets, but you don't achieve them. And the AG goes there. It's one of the findings of the Auditor General that you set targets and you don't achieve them. And they said, but you can just come up with a target. I was shocked. You can just come up with a target and you overachieve. You come up with one, and although you know that you're going to do three, and you've overachieved. So I'm like, really? So you remember that issue that was, because we were raising as the portfolio committee the issue of setting targets and not achieving them. How this, you know, brings you to a very dicey situation, yes, especially with AG. And they were also questioning the outcomes of the Auditor General. Yeah, remember? And the AG was there. And the AG responded to some of the issues. And I think it's important, this issue of the AG, because even within our committee, if you remember, the PACOP chair tried to dismiss the findings of the AG to say, and JL was still a member of this committee, and he said, you dare not do that. Yeah. So those are the issues that I feel you need to look at. And the top-down approach, you remember, they raised an issue when we said that some of the plans of the entities are not aligned with the plans of the department. They said, no, it's a top down. They do their thing there and expect us here to stand to their tune. That's what they said. They do their own thing up there and expect us to dance to their tune. We can't do that because, Tina, we take our mandate from the communities. You remember? That was an entity from, let me not mention the entity. No, I still remember this thing as if it was yesterday. I remember it. It's ingrained in my mind because I was like, there were things that were shocking to me. So there were those issues that I think we need the process of getting to the APP. It needs to be explained to them that this is a process that you go through. We don't just sleep and wake up with the APP, but there is a process that's engaged in this. For them to get this information, and we would really appreciate it if this could happen before the end of this financial year. Thank you very much. Do you want to? Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Minister will be meeting with the chairpersons and CEOs in April, Chair. We will provide the date. But I know, Chair, that in terms of the planning, what we did was to call all the entities to a meeting when we were dealing with, especially our plans. We had a workshop, and then we said these are the targets, and for the alignment, to understand the 10 key priorities of the department and to align to those two priorities. So they've been able to do that. We did the assessment of their plans now. because we saw that, for example, there would be an entity, they would throw everything, you know, those old targets, and they would come with the new targets. But we said these are still relevant. So we did the assessment, we got the report on the assessment of their APP check, because, and then we gave them feedback to say, all your APPs must also be budgeted. Even when the budget was cut, we dealt with that. And the issue of grape on was very, I think, it came very strongly in that meeting, and it's something that we are working with. I think the Honorable Chair, the other issue was that I remember in that meeting to say, when I engage at the technical level, I engage with the CEO. But then what the chairperson was saying, we need to know what we communicate. But now we are doing that. We're sitting there, the chairpersons now call me on other related issues, so we are able to then, you know, communicate and deal with those issues. So we are really correcting that. And if Minister needs to communicate with them, he does communicate and we write to them. Yeah.
Thank you. Before we move from this issue, do you want to say anything, Minister?
No.
You're fine.
No. Okay. Honorable Awip, I'm not saying there are no issues. I'm saying there are no fundamental issues which can be dealt with. They've raised this thing of CAP 103. We have raised it here also. The members have raised it. But the issues, for instance, the issue of the target and this other top-down which the chair spoke about was what was responded to now. I think it was the day when we were electing the president in the House. The strike plan, because I had at the beginning of the year a workshop with the department looking at all these things which have been raised, including the issue of targets, how the targets came about and so on. We discovered that in some instances there is no plan, it's just a number. Nobody is able to explain why this target and not that target. So we workshopped that. And then we said, I gave an instruction that you then have to, in your stress plans, have to have people from the entities get their views, incorporate what they say, look at how the resources are going to be shared, so that if it's on the heritage front, for instance, the heritage branch, together with other entities, are at one, insofar as that is concerned. If it's performing arts, all other areas, you are at one. So I think, you see, for instance, issues of fundraising, issues of AXA, the funds, everybody is complaining about the funds. And they can't get more than we've been saying, that wherever they are, they raise the point of funds. In fact, the white paper and the SAGE is a situation where we'll have to cut even these 25 what you call entities to have a more compact, precisely because of the fund. Let me tell you something. I said here in 2014, we have these 25 entities, but it's not the end of it, because many people would want to apply and have. I can assure you, and you can see that it's people, you can't say no. There is Omri, what is it called? Omri's own entity, it's a foundation. They've approached us as well. And I know there are many others which are still going to be approaching us. But at the end of the day, we are not going to have funds for that. So I think the sooner the process of the white paper, and I'm glad that the department reported here last time. So I think that the things which have been raised are things which some of them are being dealt with, some of them we're not going to be able to deal with. We're not going to have more money, more funds than what we have currently. So that's the situation. But seeing what else, you know, Chair, if I can tell you, since the beginning of the year, so many entities have come to the department, and most of them are not part of the entities, but they are coming. they are coming hard and furious, and so on. So I think we should find a way of dealing with the. Some are just operational, others are personalities. This CEO has not been talking, because for instance, this thing of CEO should not be arising. What do you say to CEO? It shouldn't arise. In any organization, there is where you address your, in an organization, it's the secretary. You address. So if the chairperson asks you, but why didn't you give it to me? It's a problem. It's a problem because this person is running the organization. He's there on a daily basis. And you can't now, you can CC, but the obligation is on those who operate organization. And you have to address them as you address all other entities. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Let us step off the matter. And as we said earlier, as the Portfolio Committee, we would like to close off, to conclude the meeting that we started, that we had, of the chairs and deputy chairs, so that we conclude it professionally. We don't leave it hanging. We would like to have that meeting as the Portfolio Committee. And it will assist both us and the department to ensure that we come out of that meeting with a common understanding, all of us, of how things should be done. And I'm now giving over to the department to present the...
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, Minister. We're going to present on the oversight visits and what DAC, the intervention by the DAC on issues that were raised during the oversight visits. This is a table of contents.
Before you do that, can you please tell us what the difference between the initial document and the document that we have? Because there was a document that was presented to us earlier, and then that document was changed, and there's a new, that one is a new document. So if you can tell us what the difference between the old document and the new document is.
Thank you, Chair. Yesterday we realized that there were typos, but also that some of the projects that were visited by the Honourable Portfolio Committee members, the information was not in the report. For example, in the initial document, we did not have a Inyogen cultural precinct, and we need to report on it. And we also had to then deal with some of the type of issues, Honourable Chair. So we really apologize for, but this is the report. But there are no substantive changes, just to also remove some of the information where there was duplication. This is the purpose of the presentation, so that we can then provide an update made in addressing issues that were raised during the oversight visit by the Portfolio Committee from 2014 to date. And in terms of the National Heritage Monument, that was done by the National Heritage Project Company, and following the recommendation by NSM Young Forensic Investigation Report, the department then sought and obtained a legal opinion via the Office of the State Attorney in Pretoria on how to deal with the contractual relationship between the National Heritage Project Company and the department. And just to indicate that both the investigation report and legal opinion were previously shared with the Portfolio Committee. And the legal opinion that we received recommended that the National Heritage Project Company undertakes accountability as following: that there should be financial accountability that accounts for each and every cent received, and also to provide supporting reports or vouchers so that a proper audit on the full financial expenditure can be undertaken, and also on the accountability for the project itself, because there was a realization that the National Heritage Project Company, that it has bare dominion or limited ownership of the statues and that it must account to the department. Honorable members, and the current status is that the department, through its appointed service provider, embarked on a financial audit into the accounting records of the National Heritage Project Company for the two funding agreements, that is the 28 million and the 32 million respectively. The audit is in the reporting phase. There is a draft report that is in the department. The draft report was discussed with the NHPC on the 19th February for noting, for commenting, and also so that we can also submit further information or documents that led to the finalization of the report. The department has then received the final report, which has been reviewed, and it is envisaged that a final sign-off report on the results of the financial audit will be issued to the department. It was issued on the 9th of March, that is last week, Friday, to consider the findings and recommendations. The report on the financial audit will then be subjected to a review by the senior counsel through the Office of the State Attorney in line with the legal opinion, which gave rise to the financial audit by the end of March 2018, after which the department will make its decision on its contractual relationship with the NHPC. I'm going to proceed to the Samora Machel Museum. A meeting was scheduled between the DGs of the Department of Arts and Culture and the DG of Public Works for 28 February, where one of the projects to be discussed would be the Samora Machel Museum in Mpumalanga. This meeting was postponed at the request of the Department of Public Works, and the new date has not yet been confirmed. The outcome of these discussions will help the department to determine how to proceed with the next phase of the restoration of the site. During phase one restoration, the main challenge encountered by DPW in determining methods for remedy was the non-availability of the existing built drawings, designs, and site plans. All efforts to obtain plans from the Provincial Department of Culture, Sport and Recreation, Mpumalanga, and the Provincial DPW did not bear any positive results. The next phase will be determined by the outcomes of the structural analysis to be commissioned by the department, by DPW, which will determine if the site should be totally demolished or rebuilt, or just that if the whole structure be restored. SARA has graded the site, and it has been declared a National Heritage Site. On the progress of GREP 103, the request for exemption by National Treasury. The department has applied to National Treasury for exemption from complying with GREP 103 on behalf of its entities. The department requested the National Treasury to extend the transition period to 31st March 2018. As part of the DAC submission to the National Treasury, the department requested the AG to defer the expression of audit opinion on compliance with GREP 103. The request for deferral of opinion was informed by a need to allow entities to phase in GREP 103 using their limited financial resources due to budgetary constraints. Approval for the exemption was then granted by the then Minister of Finance. Unfortunately, this was not recognized by the AGSA based on the notion of fair presentation. The department then consulted Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Minister, on the 23rd of January 2018. I think I reported at that workshop that there is this meeting scheduled for the new financial year at the time. Then the department tabled the request to AFB that provision of GREP 103 be amended to allow entities to comply by keeping a complete heritage asset register and verification thereof. The department then further requested that the requirements for disclosures of values of heritage assets be optional. But the team from the accounting standard board acknowledged the letter requesting the above, but it indicated that they will not support the request for the following reasons. That some of the DAC entities and provincial and municipal museums were able to comply with the standard. The process for special review of accounting standard takes time. and then the accounting standards are reviewed every 5 years, and then the review will only take place next financial year, in 2019, and then the departments will then be allowed to then participate in the review. They therefore then suggested that the departments arrange a workshop with all affected entities. So the workshop will be attended by the chief executive officers and CFOs of entities. But what they said, the ASB, is that they would provide support to our entities when they're dealing with this, with the standard. And the workshop was subsequently held on the 7th of March. But I must indicate that some of the entities even brought the snakes to the workshop to say they do this snake now. So which was something that was a bit scary, but nonetheless there was that. But the recommendations that were carried from the workshop was that they noted the challenges faced by entities with focus especially on the natural sciences. The GRAP standard is due for review next year, but the ASB committed to availing support to the entities. But they indicated that the entities have to comply with the standard until it is reviewed. And then the update on the total Laloati payment that we also reported last week, but because it's part of the site visit, the delay towards the payment was due to the fact that the project did not have a tax clearance certificate. They were able to get the tax clearance certificate in December 2017. The official in charge has been communicating with the project leader to give them feedback with regard to the payment. Due to depletion of funds in this current financial year, the project will be funded in the new in the new financial year. The PC should also know that there's been communication with the project manager. I mean project leader, Omis Mabang. In terms of the community libraries, the response to the challenges raised by the portfolio committee during the oversight visit in Mpumalanga province. One of the issues that were raised was the issue of the membership fees. The department, the Mpumalanga Culture, Sport and Recreation, encourages municipalities not to charge membership fees. But currently, that is a prerogative of individual municipalities whether to charge or not, because they also have their own bylaws within municipalities. The national department, however, has completed a socio-economic impact assessment for the South African Library and Information Services Bill. This bill will be submitted to cabinet clusters for consideration in 2018-19. Because the bill then sets norms and standards for libraries, so it will be able to assist all the provinces and municipalities. And in terms of ownership of public libraries, in terms of Schedule 5(8) of the Constitution, the function of providing public libraries is an exclusive competency of province. Therefore, provinces manage and operate public libraries in partnership with municipalities. To this extent, service level agreements are entered into between province and municipalities to regulate and provide library service to their communities. In terms of staffing, the provincial department of culture and sport in Mpumalanga, they've appointed a qualified librarian for Sabi Public Library who resumed duty on the 2nd of February this year. The 28 out of the 40 posts that they have since been filled in January 2018. So even the operating hours, they are the prerogative of individual libraries, but I think the bill will then, you know, because there are these non-tax standards, will also assist once it's approved. In terms of the material, the department, the provincial department of culture, sport and recreation, Mpumalanga, has phased out the CITA library information management system due to its inaccuracy and inefficiency, especially on minor assets that led to the negative audit findings. The department, through a service provider, is in the process of developing a new library management system that will address all challenges relating to the library function and its operations. They would know how many materials are within the library. And then the other issues that were raised, the upgrade of Tembi Silehani Library is currently underway and will address, among other challenges, the issue of water shortage and shortages and leakages experienced. And on the Makonjwa Mountain, the program on the nomination, the dossier was submitted in February 27 to the Minister of Environmental Affairs to transmit to UNESCO. The feedback from UNESCO was that the International Union for Conservation of Nature, IUCN, it also undertook a technical evaluation mission in July 2017 to the site. Following the IUCN evaluation mission, a decision to inscribe or not to inscribe the site will be then taken in June or July 2018 in Bahrain, when the World Heritage Convention meeting takes place. So after June or July, we should be able to come and report whether this is a World Heritage Site. And in terms of, we also wanted to then raise the issues of challenges on the nomination process. The Department of Mineral Resources does not support the nomination, Honorable Chair, Minister, and Honorable Members, as there has been a high concentration of a range of minerals discovered within the Barberton Mountain Lane. So we want to declare this, but then the other department says, because of the mineral deposits, we do not support the nomination. So we also wanted to then highlight the role of our Minister of Arts and Culture in this process, just to indicate that the Minister of Environmental Affairs, for example, is mandated to implement the 1972 World Heritage Convention. But the Minister of Arts and Culture, whose department has expertise in cultural heritage, provides technical support and advice to the Minister of Environmental Affairs with respect to World Heritage Sites, whose outstanding universal value is cultural heritage. The National Heritage Council, which is an agent of DAC, has also provided funding to the research process for the nomination in question. So therefore, SARA is currently working on a parallel process of protecting and declaring sites of national heritage significance. In terms of the Esther Mahlangu Legacy Project, there was an imbizo that was hosted by our Honorable Deputy Minister at Mamu Mahlangu's homestead on the 20th October 2017. And a task team was set up to work and support the foundation, the Esther Mahlangu Foundation. And these are the members of the task team, the foundation itself, the Department of Arts and Culture, the Department of Tourism, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, the Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency, the Dr. J.S. Moroka Local Municipality, and the Nkandala District Municipality, and the Provincial Department of Economic Development and Tourism, and the Steve Chwete Local Municipality. They've also been invited to be part of the task team. The task team has undertaken the following: that they initiate the process towards the establishment of the Community Art Center in Mthambothini in honor of Uma Mahlangu, following up with BMW South Africa on the promise made to Ms. Mahlangu to renovate her homestead. The BMW has made commitment to that. And then there's also a response from Business at South Africa, BASA, which we are supporting. They have lobbied the pro bono organization to assist the foundation with legal support and so that they can deal with issues around contractual, intellectual property, and also ensure that there is no exploitation so that these are brought to attention. And then in terms of commissioning of the mural painting for DAC headquarters, the department has indeed commissioned Uma Mahlangu to decorate a wall in the reception area in the new building. The first artwork will be painted on the public foyer at the reception work, and I think we're informed that this started over the weekend, at the past weekend. The work commenced on the 10th of March on the first artwork, and it will be completed by the 24th of March. but also what they are doing the building ramp, so that as you come into the city of Pretoria in Tshwane, you would be able to identify the Department of Arts and Culture. So that will be mounted on the 13th of April. All these artworks are designed by Umama Esther Mahlangu, assisted by her students. On the Matamo Cultural Village, these are the this is the assistance that the cultural village will be receiving from the department. There will be the community arts refurbishment program, so that they are able to for refurbishment and construction if they need to do that. And they will be also receiving funding from the MGE Cultural Events Program, so that they fund the program. You know, so that they can fund, so that they expand on those programs. And then the meeting between the Matamo and DAC management will be held on the 15th and the 19th of March to discuss the above proposal and also to look at the long-term sustainability of the cultural village. So the province will also be invited to this meeting for alignment and so that they can also be able to monitor progress. And in terms of annual game cultural precinct, the department is currently engaging with KwaZulu-Natal provincial government, in particular the Director General in the Office of the Premier, regarding the management and implementation of the departmental heritage projects that are implemented in KZN. And both DAC and the Office of the Premier are working on the development of the Memorandum of Understanding as the framework to regulate the collaboration and cooperation by both parties. The MA will also articulate the roles and responsibility of each and every stakeholder. The engagement that has taken place between DAC DG, Ubabu Mkhize, our DG, and the KZN DG, Nayo Dr. Mkhize, they resulted in the establishment of the task team. The task team consists of key units from each office and also the provincial department of sports, recreation, arts and culture. They have been mandated to draft the MOU so that they can have that framework. The first task team meeting was held on the 7th February 2018, convened by the Office of the Premier so that they begin to develop the draft MOU. So the process is underway with legal representations from all stakeholders engaged in this process. The DAC has been liaising consistently with the appointed reps from the royal family. It is also suggested that once the MOA has been finalized, with clear articulation and consensus on the roles and responsibility, that a high-level delegation will then visit the royal household. The purpose of this delegation will then be to inform His Majesty on the next step based on the MOU. So the planned visit should take place once there is clarity on the following: cost of completion of phase one and the completion approach and the timeline. And then coming to the entities, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we're starting with the National Arts Council. The issue was that there is no appointed qualified human resource manager in the entity with the requisite skills, and that this should be immediately appointed, and that the contract of the pensioner who was employed at the time should be terminated. So the qualified HR manager has been appointed, and the manager started on the 24th of January 2018, and the entity has terminated the contract of the pensioner mentioned. And on the issue of South African Roadies Association and the handling of the application by the NEC. The following was done by the DAC. The department conducted a forensic investigation to to ascertain the veracity of the allegations contained in Mr. Nyatela's submission. The findings of the forensic investigation supported the decision of the management of not awarding a grant to SARA. The forensics further revealed that Mr. Nyatela's proposal did not comply with the requirements outlined in the grant funding policies and procedures of NEC. The department then shared the report with the council and also the following recommendations: that NEC should conduct training awareness and workshops with staff and other stakeholders to share with them the policies and procedures of NEC, and then there should be a policy on expired projects and surpluses, and that it should be reviewed so that it is more transparent. The NEC should also conduct an audit to establish whether all grants awarded contributed to the achievements and objectives of the National Arts Council. In terms of the salary increase of both the CEO and the CFO for 2016-17 financial year, the department then directed the council to investigate the allegations and the following findings and recommendations from the council. They were submitted to the department to say the CEO salary structured and only includes car allowance, and that no performance bonus and increases were paid to both the CEO and CFO in 2014 and 15 as alleged. However, the increase of the CEO salary by 18% from 1.296 amounts to 1.6 million was found not to be correct. However, the CEO received a performance bonus of 137,000 902 in 2016-17. This also to report that this amount was in excess of the 5% that is stipulated as per their remuneration and rewards policy of the NEC, and this was approved by the previous council. It just to indicate that the council approved the bonus of the CEO. So when it was implemented, they went beyond the 5%. So the big question that we are asking is that the CEO should then have they recouped the additional, because the 137,000 is more than the 5% that is articulated in their remuneration policy. In terms of the Lalela flagship project, council concluded that the project did not comply with the following. The project did not submit the previous closeout report. There was non-disclosure from the CEO from the time she became aware that the Lalela project is owned by someone linked to her family. Council concluded that the project was not supposed to have been approved by the previous council, or put differently, council to take disciplinary action against the CEO for non-disclosure. The department has shared the report from the council also with the portfolio committee. And then the anonymous allegations contained in the Molemo letter of appeal and information leakage to the media. The NAC then commissioned the services of consultants for the purposes of conducting the forensic investigation. The investigation was concluded on the 8th February 2017. Council has started implementing the recommendation from Grant Thornton, and disciplinary action has been taken against the implicated officials for leaking confidential information and contravening the NAC's code of ethics, information technology policy. The officials involved were put on suspension pending the outcome of their disciplinary case proceeding. One case has been finalized and the official involved received a final written warning. And on that very same subject, in addition to the findings of the Grant Thornton's report, the council also conducted its own internal investigation pertaining to the company secretary. The investigation found that the company secretary had at the time breached the NEC policy, in particular the council charter, breached the conditions of employment as contained in the job description, and worked against the best interests of the council and performed her duties negligently. And the council resolved to institute the disciplinary action against the company secretary, and the council has since suspended the company secretary. And all the above challenges regarding all the investigation, as per the PC's recommendation, the DAC has appointed now an independent forensic team to further investigate the mentioned concerns. The Sarah matter, the increase, the Lalela project, and the anonymous letter. The report will then be submitted to DAC by the 31st of March 2018, because Minister then said, as a department, we need to then do an independent investigation. And the other issue was the department should clarify the role played by the NEC in dispersing funds to the orchestra. And the department should also table the policy that governs the funding allocation of orchestras to the portfolio committee. The orchestras were then informed in a letter dated 7th August that the department will no longer ring-fence funding for orchestras and that they would need to fund like any other NPO. So the orchestras will submit their reports to NEC for monitoring and evaluation. And I think the portfolio committee has been informed that there should be the establishment of the National Orchestra. And coming to the Zong Museums of South Africa. On the museums, the Zong Museums, it was the organizational structure. And that the issue that was raised was that the structure of the entity has no middle management level, and also there was a huge staff turnover. Two directors of the Natural and Culture Museums had resigned, and the positions could not be filled due to moratorium on recruitment for the new until the new structure has been finalized. We are saying in terms of the progress to date, if you allow me just to talk to the progress, because this is the action that's been taken to by the AC. While the council noted the concerns raised by the PAC, by the portfolio committee, council resolved to prioritize the following critical posts. The director of the Natural Museum was filled in October 2017. The director also for the Cultural History Museum, it was filled on the 2nd of January 2018. And also they were able to fill the following posts: the curator, Cleo Kleitosin, on the 1st of July last year, and the curator of paleontology on the 1st of July 2017, and the marketing manager on the 1st of July last year. So those are also the middle management positions that they were able to do. In terms of litigation, there was a case where the former director of the Military Museum alleged that the previous CEO disclosed his medical condition to the staff, and the matter is before the High Court, and the museum is defending, and the museum is still awaiting the date for the court. And we also raised this issue to the museum every department that, you know, if an official then confides to you that I'm sick, I've got bronchitis, you don't have to tell the whole staff that I've got bronchitis. Just say, Kilokil is off sick today. So that was what happened. And also there was also an issue around audit committee recommended a forensic audit on all historic contracts that the zone had contracted onto, and they were not completed as per the specifications. The entity also then appointed Susan Zalubo Border to investigate. The matter is concluded. The council resolved to terminate the contract of the CFO. An agreement was reached to pay 5.5 months of her contract effective 31st of August 2017. The settlement does not close the ongoing criminal case that was opened honorable members against the CFO, so she will still face criminal cases. In terms of the audit findings, the entity did not declare all its assets, hence it received an adverse audit opinion. And then they have also now appointed Grant Thornton to assist the entity to implement the GRED standards. If you look, you see that a lot of our entities, they've appointed them. I think they've got the necessary competence to do that. And then there was also one of the issues that came from the audit findings, that they need to develop a sound record management system. The audit management plan, also highlights the progress in developing a sound records management system. And by December last year, 31st December, it stood at 80% in terms of being finalized. I think the main issue that came also was the issue of the Tswayin Crater staff who were working for 14 days and they were contract workers. They did not enjoy all the benefits of being permanent employees. Because there was that court order that indeed said this should not happen. So all the Tswayin Crater staff now are permanent employees enjoying pension and leave benefits accordingly. But the team is now working on a shift system where they work in 2 weeks and 2 weeks out, but they are now permanent employees. On the communication and marketing strategy, there was also a recommendation that the entity should ensure that the communication lines are open and that there's transparency in the entity. A communication strategy should be developed so that people know about the entity. I here to report that a communication strategy has been developed and that they have a marketing manager. The DAC marketing unit will be working with all our entities in the month of March so that all our programs, projects, you know, are really communicated and people know about the entities. And in terms of infrastructure, because there were a lot of challenges regarding infrastructure, on the 27th of November last year, the Department of Arts and Culture met with DPW to discuss the Ditsong infrastructure projects. The buildings that are occupied by the museums are under the custodianship of the Department of Public Works. And therefore, the maintenance, the upkeep of the buildings is the responsibility of DPW. They indicated that they don't have sufficient budget to maintain the buildings that are occupied by the museums. But during the discussion, DPW confirmed that the Ditsong Museum South Africa building will not be renovated, as there was a moratorium by DPW to put on new projects, which was as a result of financial constraints. DPW has now committed funds for 2018 financial year, so that we can then be able to assist with funding. During the budgeting process, the DAC included the following projects in the 2018 E&E based on the user asset management plan that was submitted by the SO. On the next slide, honorable members, is the budget that we will be providing for the upgrade of the SO. Museum South Africa. Some of the projects will be looking at the reconstruction of the Tswayin building for 4 million, the renovation and upgrading of various existing buildings at the Semimax site for 100,000, renovation and upgrading of various existing sites, where we'll be looking at the renovation of educational facilities. There we've allocated 4 million, which is 8 million. Upgrading of the climate control for the collections and the cultural history, because we know we've got artifacts there. We've got 4 million allocated. We'll be also upgrading the Kruger House for 2.5 million. Upgrading of the agricultural museum for 1 million. And the upgrading of the military museum also for for 1 million. So we'll be we've allocated 21 million for the next financial year. I need to just jump this one and then go to PACOP. In terms of PACOP, just to indicate that in terms of governance issues, for the last financial year, honorable members, we are then articulating the status, you know, of the council that they had, that we had 9 members. It was a fully constituted council. They had 3 meetings. They had 3 committees, council committee meetings. The attendance rate, Chair and honorable members, was very good at 98%. And they also had audit committee meetings. We know this is one of the entities that received an adverse audit or opinion. And then they only had 3 management meetings and 1 staff meeting. So, you know, engaging with staff and the letters that they are sending to the department has been a challenge. And the new council was appointed on the 1st of December 2017. There was a 2-day workshop on good corporate governance that was conducted. And, then we had the focus induction on PACOPs on the 4th of March 2018. And in terms of the issues that were raised during the visit, the absence of the internal audit function was also one of the audit findings, where the tender was later awarded, but it was awarded. And then we indicated that PACOP has established an internal audit function in November 2017. But just on the issue of the management positions, the CEO position, they had advertised, but then with the old council, then we advised them to hold on to the process and allow the new council that came into being to be able to advertise and appoint the CEO. It was advertised in November 2017, that was the old board, but then it was re-advertised in February 2018. The interviews will be held this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday, the CFO, they've appointed Mr. Silo Sanyani as the CFO, who started in January 2018. The artistic director was appointed last year, January 2017, and they've got a human resources manager. And then the clarity on the approved organizational structure. If you allow me, Honorable Chair, I will deal with the organizational restructuring and the structure itself. They put the cart before the horse, the entity, because they dealt with the structure first without overhauling the entire organization. And then we said, no, we need to deal first with the organizational restructuring. So now what they have done now, they have been able to appoint a service provider. They will be appointing a service provider in March who will be looking at the entire organization and the restructuring of the organization, so that PACOP begins to fulfill its mandate and they become a playhouse. And then after that, then they will be dealing with the organizational structure, so that they, you know, they put the cart before the horse. So they will then be appointing a service provider to assist them with organizational restructuring. In terms of the disciplinary code, and that it has been breached by the previous council, and the council has been accused of being inconsistent, and this poses a risk of setting a bad precedent if not resolved urgently. What we recommended was that there should be a workshop that everybody should then be taken through this disciplinary, the code and of conduct and so forth. So, but for now, we have not been receiving any reports since that there has been breach of the disciplinary code by the new council. We have not received that. And then the leakage of confidential information. Was that the recommendation that came from us was that the office of the CEO must ensure that there are tight controls to keep the council's confidential information, and that it must be secure at all times, because there was, you know. And then to address this, they have also appointed a company secretary who will be handling all council matters, and so that, you know, issues remain confidential. Those issues that have to be confidential remain confidential. And also there was the issue of the union meetings that are interfering with the business of the entity. Then you are saying the union meetings need to be regulated. Then they are being regulated by the recognition agreement. And the CEO approves all their meetings now. They inform the management of their meetings, and then they are here. Then they are approved. And also on the issues of policies, the staff indicated they were not clear which policies are approved, which ones are not approved, and because there was inconsistency in implementing them. And just to indicate that the last batch of policies were approved by the council in October 2016, and these policies are currently being reviewed, and you know there is involvement and participation by staff. And there was also the issue of level of respect between unions, management, and council, because we said that as departments, that the rules of engagement should be clarified and adhered to. So we are saying we have not received, you know, the respect between council and management is reported to be healthy, with few incidents amongst staff that are being handled by both council and management after those incidents. I think the main issues that were raised were the litigation cases. To say these cases need to be finalized, there was also a directive that these cases must also be finalized, because the entity cannot be perpetually be seen in court. On the issue of Dineo Masitela, on the 12th of May last year, the council instructed that she be reinstated because the reasons for her dismissal for using offensive language, they did not, you know, she was not to be dismissed, but, you know, to be taken through a labor process. And an amount of 111 was paid to her on the 31st of July last year, but this amount was also subject to tax deduction because she was dismissed, but she has since been reinstated. On the issue of Mr. Mula Lisinyeho, the Mr. Lisinyeho's matter has been referred back to CCMA on the 26th of February this year for unfair dismissal, following the management's rejection of a settlement agreement. But just to indicate that while he was dismissed, he was employed, and he earned a salary from the public sector. So he is refusing to disclose what he received. So I think the main issue is around the settlement agreement, to say, yes, there is this 2 million, but you also benefited from government disclosed. So this is the bone of contention. And then in terms of Mr. Demko Machalo, who was the CEO, he won his case at the CCMA, and PAFOS has taken this matter on review. On the issue of Mr. Nelson Salimani, who was the finance manager, he was paid an amount of 670,000, which was his acting allowance as CFO. And on the case of unfair dismissal, the matter is still pending at the CCMA. And there was an issue of management being members of the union. Management officials still maintain their union membership, except the HR manager. They said they have their right to association and so forth. So it's one of the issues. I know the Honorable Kondo raised this matter very sharply when we were at PACOFS at the time, but others still maintain their union membership. And then PACOFS to refrain from hiring out venues for weddings and rather focus on its core mandate as a performing arts institution. The entity has confirmed that they do still do rental for wedding anniversaries as this assist with income generating, right? But priority is given to their artistic events. In terms of infrastructure issues, the National Treasury conducted a forensic investigation on spending of the Capital West budget, and the report was submitted to the Purpose Council to implement the recommendations. And DAC is still awaiting the council to then implement some of the recommendations that are in that. Our director, Infrastructure Development, will talk to some of those key recommendations that were made. The Nelson Mandela Museum, the issue that was raised was the revision of their vision, mission, and values at the museum, and this has been revised, Honorable Chair. And then also the issue of monitoring progress on Bunga building, the construction to ensure that there is more exhibition space to indicate that the Bunga building is now operational. They've got a lot of exhibition space, and that's and also there was an issue of empowering tour guides to ensure that the tour guides went on a training course. They've received the certificates, but Chair, the vessel site still remains a challenge in accessing and so forth. This needs, I think, intervention at another level. And then in terms of the organogram, and that critical positions should be filled, Chair, the museum is implementing its approved organizational structure. On the signing of the performance agreement, all performance agreements have been signed now by the staff. And then on the issue of low staff morale, to boost the staff morale, workshops are occasionally held to address and improve understanding also on the policies and the general culture of the organization. And then on the issue of supply chain management policies, that needs to be in place. So all the supply chain management policies have been approved. They also have the standard operating procedures. And then that DAC to provide support and ensure monitoring and evaluation and good governance. We want to report that site visits are done by DAC and that support is provided where and when necessary. And also there was an issue of needing to build an inclusive and conducive environment to all staff of the museum. There is an annual calendar of meetings that needs to be adhered to so that they know what is happening and they become involved in the operation. And on the turnaround of the qualified audit report, just to indicate that the Nelson Mandela Museum achieved an unqualified audit outcome for in 2016-17, and that the internal auditors meet with the museum regularly, and also there's an audit and risk committee, and they really work hard to make sure that they do that. And then the council is fully constituted, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and in terms of leadership, they've got a CEO who's very passionate and driven to take the entity very far. He was appointed on the 3rd of April last year. On the critical vacancies, all the critical vacancies have since been filled, including the position of the Chief Financial Officer, Senior Managers for Education, Heritage, and Conservation, as well as a researcher. So we know the challenges with the previous CFO. And on labor issues, there was the issue of injury on duty and disciplinary charge against employees. This matter was discussed during the bilateral meeting with the museum last year, October 27th, and HR worked with the official. We should not have put the name, sorry, apologize. I think we were trying to take out the names from the presentation. I don't know how this happened. And then he was able to send, the forms were completed and sent to the Department of Labor. And on the issue of the manager who did not have a matric certificate, he's currently suspended and they are working with the state security agency who does vetting to just check whether there are no other things that needs to be uncovered. On the borehole that is not working, the Amatola water is restoring the borehole. And also on the sewer system that needs to be changed because it was spilling all over and it posed a health hazard. Currently there are interim measures that have been devised to ensure that the sewer system is restored, but also it is also ready for the Nelson Mandela Centenary. Not just that, but it needed to be, because there was, maybe just to indicate Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, because DPW has put a moratorium, but we are saying we cannot have a sewer system that is spilling when we have such an important event coming up. So they managed to have an interim system. The other infrastructure matters, there is a rescue plan for the school building with the support of the following stakeholders: the Nelson Mandela Museum, the Department of Public Works, and the Amatola Water Municipality. So the professional service providers were appointed by DPW for the school new condition-based maintenance project. The team met also on the 19th Feb at the Kulu Youth and Heritage Center. The purpose of this meeting was to discuss the rescue plan to ensure that the site is opened in May 2018 and also to fast-track address the challenges delaying the Kulu condition-based maintenance project. The interim measures that are in place is that the area which needed urgent attention in order for the museum to be opened were identified. The budget, the procurement plan, and the project execution plan were discussed, and the rescue plan is also attached. We will send it back. And then in terms of the Kulu condition-based maintenance project, DPW presented the project execution plan, and the team identified the challenges. Interventions to resolve the challenges were discussed, and then those recommendations were sent to DPW for approval so that we are ready for the Nelson Mandela Centenary celebration. But just to indicate that the Kulu Heritage Youth Center is still closed. Yes, it is still closed, but then we are coming up with the rescue plan. There is no progress on the Kulu condition-based maintenance and Bunga facilities maintenance facilities management contract, which deals with maintenance. DPW will confirm the approval of the budget and procurement plan for the rescue plan to open the Kulu Museum in May 2018. So there are all these meetings that are sitting to discuss these projects. And then on the War Museum of the Boer Republic, the issues that were raised during the visit was that on the artifacts, the entity should devise ways and means to make people across the country to know the untold story of the war. The museum, with the support of DAC, they produced a DVD on the black participation during the war. A free publication was also done in this regard, and the museum is in the process of distributing this publication on the black participation to schools. But we are saying we need to also, they are working with the Free State Department of Arts and Culture, but we said they need to rope in the Department of Basic Education, Honorable Chair. And more effort should be made to get the names of those that are not known, including the recognition of women and children. We are saying there is continuous effort to obtain all the names of those who died in the concentration camps, so that those people are known. But also there's a design. The design of the Garden of Remembrance was done in such a way that additional names can be added as and when they are submitted. And then there was the issue of making sure that more learners come to the museum. there should be a relationship between the museum and the Department of Arts and Culture and the province, and that we should also, the department can should assist the museum in transporting the students. I think I've talked to that. The museum is currently also working with the Mangaung Metro and the Provincial Department of Arts and Culture for assistance to bring in higher volumes of schools to visit the museum. And then on the issue of diversifying the staff complement, we want to report that the museum does have an equity and the equity employment target in place. They have a staff complement of 25, and then when people retire, seek other opportunities, then they will be able to, you know, appoint other racial groups in the structure to be able to achieve their equity target. And that DAC should develop guidelines to ensure that there is equitable distribution of funding of museums in the country. Here we are saying the third draft of the white paper on arts and culture has been submitted to GPME for validation and certification, because it talks to the rationalization of the entities and also talks to the funding model of the entities. So we are saying once the certificate has been issued to the department, it will then be taken to the CASAS and to cabinet. And that the CEO and the management have to ensure that there is a succession plan in the entity. We have to report that there is a continuation plan, a succession plan in place, and also because we know that also the director is due to retire very soon. We are saying the museum, there was also an issue where it was raised that the museum should work closely with the AGSA so that they understand the methodology used by the AGSA, specifically when it comes to Grab 103. The museum also, like DITSO, they've also appointed Grant Thornton for the evaluation of the heritage assets in terms of provision of Grab 103. Work is in progress, and then the museum is in constant consultation with the Auditor General of South Africa. Coming to the National Library of South Africa, just by the way to indicate that it's the 200th bicentennial anniversary of the National Library. It will be taking 200 years this year. Yes, because the National Library was spending more than 70% on its personnel budget. They have established a fundraising committee so that they can augment their revenue stream, and to, you know, because the budget, now we see that the budget is being cut, it's not increasing. And this includes facilities, higher income stream, and they are also, they are appointing a caterer because a lot of people visit the library, so that, and they can hire it out, and then they can then generate income out of that kiosk. And then in terms of revenue generation, the library to launch the coffee table book as an income stream for launching mid-March 2018, because it's part of their 200-year celebration. But they are also investigating the following income streams: the sale of the ISBN, the exhibition and or online store, digitization and the acidification. Yeah. The experts will talk to these terminologies. In terms of succession planning, the policy on succession planning and promotion is in place, and it is also published on their internet. In terms of their policies, the technical team with the library and information services stakeholders in all provinces have been set up to collect inputs for the formulation of the policy. The drafting process includes consultation with the following stakeholders that have been outlined. The technical team is now engaging with the National Treasury for funding models. The draft policy will be presented to the DG as part of the policy protocols and ministerial processes. And in terms of the infrastructure, the needs analysis was conducted by the surveyors and heritage experts at the Cape Town campus, and the report is available. Emergency work on the roof, plumbing, and repair of the wooden frames in the public area is complete. And then in terms of the audit funding, BREP 103, the National Library of South Africa is currently implementing the standards with the funding received from DHC. Consultations were held with Treasury DHC to discuss the implementation, and progress status is being tracked by us quarterly. In terms of the ICT, the rolling of the ICT equipment is in progress as per their project plan, because they've been allocated funding from Uzansi Library Online Project. In terms of PENCROP, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the CEO post is filled, the CFO post is filled, the executive head post is vacant, as the executive head was dismissed last year. And then the issues that were raised there was that during the 2013-14 financial year, PENCROP had overspent its budget by 38 million. And at the time, an amount of 17.5 million was approved and transferred to PENCROP to cover some of the items that they had raised, like to cover their litigation costs, UIF and self payment. But Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, you will see that when I book, there is additional budget that has been provided to PENCROP. On the dissolution of the board on January 12, 2016, Minister put in an interim board, the advisory board, but that did not work because the constitutionality of it was questioned and it was dissolved on the 20th of September 2018. But also, there was then just the lack of cooperation by the CEO of PENCROP, so they could not do work. And then on the issue of the staff litigation matters, 8 employees took their matter to the CCMA, and they were paid an equivalent of 10 months to the value of 3.1 million. But just to indicate that as a department, we were able to allocate 20 million to PENCROP to deal with all those litigation issues. The report that we got last month was just on the 8 employees and the 3.1 million given to them. And then on the financial challenges experienced by PENCROP, an amount of 37 million was made available over the MTF so that they can receive and cover some of their costs. And then on the reconstitution of the board of PENCROP, nominations were received and forwarded to the Portfolio Committee on the 7th November 2017 for shortlisting and interviews. And then in terms of the investigation report into the allegations of financial management by the board from 15th July 2012 to September 2014 that was done by National Treasury, the report was, the investigation was completed on the 30th March 2015. Sorry. These were the recommendations that were made, that an in-depth forensic investigation should be conducted to establish the validity of the appointment, validity of payments made to service providers, and the verification for value for money to the institution. And also PENCROP to refer the possible contravention of Section 38, 39, and 40, read with Section 86 of the PFMA by the then caretaker CEO in relation to the appointment of service providers for criminal investigation by the South African Police Services. There were also recommendations that subs should also look at criminal investigations on elements of fraud and corruption. The report was then handed to the board for implementation. However, we know that the board was dissolved in January 2016. But in the interim, PENTAB took certain decisions. They took a step to terminate some of the contracts which were mentioned in the investigation report. Payments to a service provider known as Computer Services and Forensic Solutions, it was cancelled as there was no valid contract entered between them and the entity. So money was paid without a valid contract. An 11 million contract between the board and Sithole Mzungu Consulting was cancelled as there was no budget for the expenses, amongst other reasons. Outstanding payments to these two entities were frozen as there was no justification for payment. Another entity by the name of Inc. and Feb for the development of a fundraising strategy was also suspended pending further investigation. A contract with Zanenza was also suspended, and the company is suing the board for outstanding commission. In terms of the KwaZulu-Natal Museum, the issue that was raised was that the department should put an operational plan in place on how it will embark on making the building habitable and user-friendly for the museum staff and all species in the museum. The KZN still has to resubmit the phase one proposal with a new estimate, which will be submitted to the CG for approval. Honorable Chair, just to indicate that we've been on their case to be able to submit that. And then in terms of our monitoring and evaluation as the department to our entities, we've established, the department has established various oversight mechanisms interventions to assist the entities to achieve their targets as adopted and tabled in Parliament. These interventions are important in ensuring that public entities are better managed and are accountable through sound corporate governance and a performance management system. And this should be in line with National Treasury guidelines. In line with the National Treasury guidelines, all the entities submitted their first draft and second draft to DAC by end of August and November last year. Upon the receipt of these APPs, we then analyzed all the APPs, and we were able to give feedback to all our entities. But just to indicate that all of them submitted their last draft, they were tabled to Parliament. But then Minister is due to sign with them the shareholders' compact on the 13th of April this year. The department has also developed a set of templates to ensure standardized reporting and to facilitate a consistent assessment of performance through the submission and analysis of quarterly reports. DAC receives the 25 reports quarterly, and these reports have to adhere and comply with agreed performance analysis framework as guided by the National Treasury. And these reports address both financial and non-financial performance of entities. And we also look at what they signed with the minister and ensuring that they are able to meet the target. And we also look at their audit improvement plans, and we monitor that on a quarterly basis. And we also do visit to entities. There are templates that is developed, and they visit. And what with the team, when they visit, they look at the performance of the entities, non and financial, the state of governance, the constitution of boards and all committees, and the relationship between the employees, the monitoring and tracking of the audit improvement plan. To intensify the intervention of most challenged entities, the department has increased the number of site visits conducted, and also they have expanded agenda that accommodates all relevant stakeholders, namely management, labor formations, and general staff. And the governance unit has adopted an all-inclusive approach by roping in supporting units of the department this is something that is now happening. We bring in our HR to assist when there are labor issues, legal, if there are legal issues, risk, line function, and internal audit. So they assist the governance unit, and we bring them on board. From the Department of Arts and Culture, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, this is the presentation on the oversight basis. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just to commend you for this in-depth presentation, it captures most of the issues that we've raised in our oversight. And I hope that you have come to an understanding that when we want the process that you've engaged in responding to the recommendations, you don't come to us and say, where are the recommendations? You don't come to us as the portfolio committee, because these are sent to you immediately. They are adopted in the House. I hope that is clear. We don't want this thing happening again, of you asking from us the recommendation. And as I said, this is really commendable, because it captured a lot of issues that we raised during our oversight. And the impression is that the matters that we raised have been followed up. And just to quote a letter from one lady at the Tsong, who said, "We thank you very much for coming here. We appreciate the fact that you've come to listen to us. Even if nothing happens after this, the fact that you have been here and listened to us." That letter really touched me, because it was showing that there are rare occasions where people working in entities are listened to. And it's very important to listen to the views of the people, to listen to how people feel about their situation. And that letter that said, even if nothing happens, the fact that you've been here, you know, is much appreciated. One of the issues that I would like to raise is that as the department, really, you take time to respond to issues. That is a fact. You take time. We are here today, and when were we at Mutsamo last year, August 2017, and you are still in a process of making sure, you know, you are still in, we were there, August last year, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, we get our financial year, but you are still in a process of looking into this, that, and that. And I've always said that it's important for a department to respond immediately. But we really can't. We know that you are busy as the department. There are so many projects that you are involved in. But immediate responsiveness. Because the attitude of the lady who was there at Mutsamo, you remember? She said, there have been people coming here. That's the attitude that we got there. There have been people that have come here, that come here and gone. So what? Nothing happens after that. And we were like, oh my goodness, we don't want to be, this committee doesn't want to be counted amongst those people. And it's important for you to to respond immediately on issues that are being raised. And the issue of the of responding to some of the issues like RAP 103 that we kick started that process of you coming together with Treasury and AG and yes, we kick started as the portfolio committee and you've run with it. We commend you for that. I think it's very important for you to just, you know, respond immediately so that these things don't keep on coming up. And I think with libraries, a lot of work has to be done in that area of libraries. And we know that this is a provincial constitutional competency, but the money comes from you, and you can never run away from that fact, which means that you need to ensure that this service level agreements are there, because I'm sure what you are saying here is something that you think is there. The writing, you assume that this service level agreement between the provinces and municipalities are there, and as the portfolio committee are saying, don't assume, have a copy of the service level, and so that you are sure that there is this thing that is there, and this is what it says, what have they agreed upon, because the money comes from you at the end of the, although it's not your constitutional mandate, but you give the money. I think it's important for you, even within the MINMEC, to ensure that these things are discussed, and maybe to say, even before you give the money, what's the service level agreement between you and this municipality where we are going to build? Because it has come up in newspapers that there are libraries that don't have electricity, that don't have services. How does that happen? To have a structure that doesn't have all those services. Because if there was that service level agreement initially, then none of this would have happened. And in some of the areas, your report is general. And I've always said that as the portfolio committee, we need specifics so that we, as the wawush, yes, we are wawush, it means you are too broad. I don't want to say ingena meaning, but something that you can pin, you know, down. So I think it's important to say, when you give a report to us, you try to be as specific as possible for the committee. When we are phoned by a newspaper to say, Mamutom, what do you mean when you say, and I'm like, okay, I'll have to ask the department, I'm not sure. For instance, in this case of this site in Mpumalanga, there's a high concentration of a range of minerals. Mamutom, what minerals? And I'm like, okay, let me go and ask the department, I'm not sure. So you need to be specific when you give us information so that we are not found wanting in some of the things that you report to the committee. And also, in this area, Yasema Konja Mountain, the work between that is done by the National Heritage Council and SARA, how is it complementing, or are they doing totally different things? That, because these are both your entities, and how are they working together to ensure that things go smoothly? And we would like to commend you with the issue of Esther Mahlangu, because truly speaking, as I said the other day, that immediately it was unraveled, you took it, you ran with it, and this is commendable. The work that is going on now is really commendable. I think it's important for us as the portfolio committee to say that. Honorable members, this is the opportunity to ask questions and make comments. I'll come back later after you've made your comments. Honorable Makonde, Honorable Postbone.
Thanks, Chair. Let me again join you in welcoming this report, a detailed report since 2014 up until to date. We want to welcome the department in presenting this report, Chair. But however, Chair, when you go through the report, one, it lacks details. That's the problem. But also, it also lacks action. It's full of explanation of the things that is going to be done. That's what I have a problem with. I can just give an example of the Enyogin Cultural Precinct. We've been talking about this issue for a very long time, up until early this year the portfolio committee went there. But when you explain today, you talk about the process, not action. Committees have been the high-level delegation, the DG will meet with the office of the premier, and so forth. I thought that issue is a hot potato. And I expect the department just to get down on it before it's all over the media again. Because we like reacting as a department, and that's a problem. Because if the media today can ask you about that issue, I don't think you'll be able to explain a concrete something that you are doing about it. You'll be explaining about these processes, and that it's a problem that I have with you. The issue of Samora Machel Museum. I think we all agree that that site symbolizes a very important history in our country and Mozambique. If, as a department, we don't have a view as to what must happen there, we are still waiting for this meeting. I don't agree with it. And it's even worse now that SARA has declared it is a national heritage site. And I think as a department you were supposed to have a view as to what is going to happen, other than expecting to have a view from a meeting that is going to be held. Because the fact that SARA has declared it, it won't change. It won't change. I think you need to do a lot more work on that. The other issue, Chair, let me join you in welcoming the department on the intervention of Ugogo S. Amaslanga. We want to appreciate the work that we have been doing as a department. We appreciate that. We just hope that all the the interventions that you are going to make can bring a good result. The issue of following up with the BMW, the promises that they've made, and also preserving the work of that legend. I think we appreciate that. And we'll continue to support you as a portfolio committee on that change. And I also want to welcome the intervention at Matam, the work that is happening there. I think we must continue to support that particular organization. I've got some few issues in the main. It's NAC and PACOF. You see, on your report, DDG, you're playing with words in relation to the salary of the investigation which was conducted on the salary of the CEO was not correct. I don't understand the correct. You know, if you should have said was not true. If you say it's not correct, I don't understand what actually you wanted to mean. But again, the issue of bonus. You have said that the payment of bonus was in excess of the 5%. I don't know how long have you known this. But also, the department in dealing with this issue is very slow. Whether it's the department or the board. Because I think if somebody has been overpaid, that money should have been returned back to government long time ago. I don't think they can be a process. If I've been paid, and I know that I've been paid money that I was not supposed to be paid, that money should have been with government long time ago. And I can't understand. That's why I'm saying all the issues that you're talking about, that explanation, it lacks action. And that's what we need from government. The issue of Lalela, these things has been all over the media. And we've said there's some favoritism in this particular project. And you even reported, I think it was some 3 months back, that the board has investigated, they are going to discipline this. I mean, it's a word. There's no action. There's no action. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the moment the contract of the CEO is going to lapse? Then you said you can't discipline her because she's gone. Lacks action. The portfolio committee has said that you need to look into the salary scales of the NAC to be in line with the DPSA framework. I don't know how far have you gone in relation to that. I don't know how far have you gone into that. I would want you to respond to that. The other issue relates to, we've always asked about the content of the manual that you use for the inductions of your boards. I'm not so sure if that has come, Chair. It has come? Okay. I think we'll have to look into that. You spoke about the organizational structure that was overwhelmed. That's where you lost me. I still want you to at least detail that so that I understand. Yeah, Parkhoffs. We are Parkhoffs now. When you say overhaul, what do you mean? So that a layman on the street understand when we say this institution is going over our process. I want to understand. I may have some differences with you in with regard to that, the organizational structure versus of, because you see what is the problem in government? It's when you design an organizational structure that suits individuals. But if you have got an organizational structure that sits there and individuals must fit in there, in that structure. Not organizational structure fits in individual. That's the problem in government. But I will want you to elaborate more when it comes to that. Because I believe that an organizational structure should still exist whether individuals are there or not. The other issue, it talks to the litigation at Parkhoffs. I knew at that time that this was going, because it was a clear case. It was a clear case, but the question I have is, what then happens when institutions which are led by people embark on something that they know that they've got no basis to win? What happens if they lose? You see, if in court, if I litigate, when I lose, I bear the cost as an individual. But when individuals in institution embark on that particular process, and knowing very well that they are going to lose, what are the recourse for the institution they lead? It's fine, they can do that, institution will bear the cost. You see, so that I have a problem with. And I thought that era will come to an end. You see, this government has been an embarrassment of itself for the past 8 years or so. I can't remember a case which government took to court and win. I can't remember that. But the issue is, there are other cases. The case that you are talking about of Machola. I can tell you sitting here, you're not going to win that case. You're not going to win it. Because you can fire me today and challenge the dismissal and go and work in another institution, government institution. It's listening here. Yes, let's talk about that one. And go and work in another institution, government institution, and I get paid. And if I win that case that I was challenging, which where I was fired, and if the commissioner come up with a recourse to say that you must be paid a 5 months or 6 months salary as a function, then you say you can't implement that because this person was earning a salary elsewhere. What is that? Because that comes as a function. In fact, if it was a court order, we were going to say you are refusing to implement court order.
But again, it's fine. But on the issue of Nelson Mandela, DDG, there's no Amatola Water Municipality. It's either it's Amatola District Municipality or Amatola Water. There's an issue which the committee raised that relates to the timelines on the appointments of board. That we said department is supposed to develop, for example, when the board ends in 3 months. So that when the new boards come, there's a proper handover between the old and the new board. We just want to check if that has been done. The other issue that we raise as a portfolio committee, it relates to the repatriation laws. I think we were supposed to. There are a lot of South African materials outside the country. And because we don't have laws to kickstart that particular process, those materials remain in those countries. And how far have you gone in terms of ensuring that we have laws? And I don't think that the people who are having those materials, they have a problem bringing those materials home. But we don't have a legal process as government to ensure that that particular materials are returned back home. So those are the issues, Chair. The other last issue is in relation to the reconciliation bridge. What is happening there? I have not heard anything. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Kofun.
Thank you, Chair. I welcome the report, like my colleague. And I would like to start where with the issue that my colleague spoke to quite elaborately on, and that is the issue around the court bid that the department, the DAC, lost against Mr. Macholo. Now, the question that my colleague asked and that I also beg to ask is the official who was supposed to execute the order should bear the cost and not the department. So and I think that official should be advised as such, because it is a needless because the departments have become notorious when they lose a court, but they make a bid on that again to frustrate the official and also to impoverish the official, and then the official finally leaves everything as is. And I think this is the kind of time that the department is actually playing to, that all most departments are playing to. And I think it's actually criminal. The other issue that I think my colleague also touched on was with regards to also to the National Arts Council. I was thinking now about the question around. To quote your words, Chair, was when did this action against the whistleblower start? I think that issue has not been addressed, and where is she now? Is that official, the whistleblower, still under suspension? And what is the issue surrounding her? When we come to the Enyokeni project, again, the project is being built on cultural land, the land belonging to Ngonyama Trust. Now, and we know that government, we cannot build on cultural land. To who does this precinct now belong to? And it is not a it's not for national consumption. It's more, call it, for lack of a better word, it's more for ethnic consumption, not for South African consumption. It may be a tourist attraction, but it was not, it's not meant as a tourist attraction. So we are disbursing funds on private land, and then the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape may also want these things to be given to us. And a precedent has been created, and then up to now, I don't know if the costing has been done, what the final cost of this project will be, and maybe we should also get an explanation on that one. Something that has been, that is completely lacking in this report, that is not in the report, was the there was a forensic investigation into the funding, the building restoration funding at Windy Brown Theatre. I don't see any feedback on that because there was impropriety was found, but no report on any action given in this regard. What is the other question now that I had now? About the salaries, that as my colleague has touched on that. Okay, Chair, on the, I think I will, if I get a chance later on, I will come to the other issue. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the issue of Machola. Yeah, it's fine, I talked about that one. You see, Chair, it is reported that Machola won the case at the CMA and Parkhoff has taken the matter on review. That goes back to the same. This decision was taken by an individual. And Parkhoff, on this review, is paying money to the lawyers that I represent. And that goes to the issue which Honorable Portbom raised, that what then happens if Machola again win this matter on review? And when they say it's taken on review, Chair, it's English. They are saying it, the matter is on the court. It's not so on the court. It's still a CMA. So, you sure? Because when you see CMA, how it works, if CMA hands down an award, we say it's an award, you can't take the matter to the very same institution for a review. That's how law works. You need a higher structure, and the higher structure is labor court on this matter. So that's why I'm saying your presentation lacks details. It must be in a way that a person on the street, when read it, can understand. Because indeed a review, it means the matter is on labor court. And I would want to propose to the committee chair that it's either this matter it's withdrawn. Or if it's not withdrawn, if PACOPS lose, the one who has taken a decision must pay the cost. Because the issue, Chair, is if an employee challenge an unfair conduct of an employer, and if that employee wins, and when the employee challenge that outcome, on whose interest that employee is doing that? On whose interest? You see. So I think I want to propose that it's either the matter is withdrawn, because PACOPS lost the matter in the first place. Why challenge it? Or the person who has taken a decision must use his own money to fight.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think let me allow you to respond to those, but just to emphasize this issue, my department of the National Arts Council, that there, even in your presentation, because you are saying the Lalela flagship project, interventions by DAC, the council concluded that the project did not comply with following, and you enumerate these, and then nothing. You just enumerate and nothing thereafter. Yeah? The last point is that the department has shared the report from council with the portfolio committee. But what is it that is being done at the end of the day? What is this that is being done? And even with the CEO, the amount was in excess of the stipulated 5%. Who's the culprit here? Who actually did what? And what is happening to that person who did any wrong here? So I think these are the things that we would like to hear as the portfolio committee, and the findings on Lalela, what is the council doing? Because it's not here, and it's the information that you would like to have. And also the processes, when you say at Muchamo we are going to have this, we are going to have a meeting. What's the process? We are going to have a meeting, then this is what is going to happen. So that we have a clear picture, because you come today and say we're going to have a meeting tomorrow, then what? What is expected out of that meeting? I think it's important for us to get a picture of this without us even asking a lot of questions. It's important for us to get that picture. And also on the issue of the budget, the Zong Museum's budget, is there a basis for the amounts that are given here? What's the basis for this amount? What is it actually that's going to be done with the money? Did you have maybe a Did you have an assessment that tells you that this area needs 4 million? Or is it an area where you need 15 million, but for this financial year you will give 4 million, you know? So that we have a picture of this. And this is what we are going to hand over to the portfolio committee that will be coming in to say, this is the process that the department is embarking on to respond to the findings that we had during this term. So let me allow you to respond, and if there are follow-ups, honorable members, as usual, come up with those, and so that we are pressed for time, we don't have much time.
And also the issue of umthetho, Kaloku, you can't just say the issue is still it's not resolved yet. What are the processes? This is what we did. We did that and that and that, but the matter is not resolved. So that we can be able to say, okay, it needs intervention. Minister, maybe you say tell the minister that this is the process that we embarked on. We had a meeting, but it was not fruitful. We had that meeting, but we never came to an understanding. So this is what we would like to happen, Minister. Can you assist us? Because as the Portfolio Committee, you know, an oversight function, although we said from the beginning that we are there to even support if there is a problem. So I think it's important for us, when you say that it is not resolved, we know exactly how far you have gone, what you have done to the issue of Enyogeni has been raised already. I mean, this is what I said from the onset, that as the department, you take a long time to resolve matters. And we've been there, we came up with findings and recommendations, and you were part of the oversight. So from there, by this time, I believe that you should be telling us that this is what has happened, not what is being planned, as Honorable Makondo said, because you're still telling us about plans, but honestly, I think you should be telling us about what has transpired from the discussions that you've had already. Okay, let me leave some of the issues that I've noted here to give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chen, Honorable Members. I will ask Mr. Charles Mabaso to talk to the issue of Matamo, to say what happens after the meeting, and the issues that are raised on heritage issues to Mr. Ndima, the mineral deposits that are in Makonjo. What are those mineral deposits and issues of Enyokeni, the issues, those issues, and the relationship NHC and the National Heritage Council, etc. And Pam, just to respond to the issue of the budget that's been given to Edizo, what is the basis? Yes. And the CFO, the allocation of Edizo, the situation they find in, and then we'll respond to the entities once, Chair, myself and Tim. But let me allow the colleagues first.
On the issue of Ikunu Heritage Youth Center, I think it's said here that it's going to be opened in May 2018. May. We're in March, you know, May. I mean, tell us what the process is to get there, because the report is saying nothing is happening presently. Is there anything happening there? So give us the response when you see.
Good day, Honorable Chairperson, portfolio members. With reference to the Matamo Cultural Village, yes, indeed, we went with the portfolio in August 2017. Subsequent to that, immediately after that, we spoke to, in consultation with provincial officials that were there on site. We said immediately to come back, so that the first thing was that the center must submit an application so that we can process, and that was the first engagement. And we gave our details to the lady, and it took some time before we actually got an application. In fact, on record to date, we have not received a formal application from the CEO or the manager there. But I know that colleagues from the province have gone, I think, on one or two occasions. But following from the discussion in the portfolio, we then phoned and then we arranged with colleagues from the office to say, look,
this culture of the future. This is South Africa's handle. And the promises and subsequently the consultation and vision, consultation which was from there, and it's discussed after the last performance which went there. We've been discussing that with the council, and I've agreed in principle that in the new financial year, we are going to support the village. Actually, we want to co-opt, not co-opt it, but just because one of the flagships or one of the activities that we do in that part of the country, because it's similar from Indonesia and KZN. It's a small version of Indonesia, so we are saying we're going to take it, but we need to budget it in the new financial year. There was nothing we have done in the last financial year because you're coming towards an end. But now going forward, that's what's going to happen with my current career of the nation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee. Let me start with the Makonjo Mountain and there's a question around mineral deposits. We're talking about gold. It's gold in the main because the history of that area is popularly known for the gold rush in the 1860s. So that's the gold deposits that are there. And that's why now you have got this tension between the Department of Mineral and Energy and the process of nomination. Because there is a view that says if you extract that gold, you might just be able to develop the area and have more employment opportunities. Well, that's like the speculation aspect. Yeah, that there is gold.
Wow.
So there is that tension. And that tension is not peculiar to South Africa. If you go to other wealthiest sites in the world, Tanzania, you find that the mineral deposits underneath and yet the president is the heritage site. Always there is this tension between conservation and development. And I think that's what we are seeing playing out in that particular space. And then the issue of National Heritage Council and SARA, the work has been complementary because NSC has actually assisted, you know, the research, but then SARA, in terms of its mandate, has actually helped in terms of looking at it, it's helping in terms of trying to protect the site as a national heritage site. It's always advisable. Chairperson, I remember that before you even declare site World Heritage Site, it's been recognized by the national laws of the country. It has happened in the country where you have declarations like the Robben Island was declared as a World Heritage Site before it was even declared in terms of the National Heritage Resources Act. So if you work systematically, you need to work along those lines. And Chairperson, Enyobeni, I was just sitting here thinking about it. Chairperson, can I revert back to my language?
Yes.
But I'll translate it. I'll translate it. Enyobeni is like, I'm just trying to make this metaphor so that it's understood that if you have been trying to slaughter an ox, a very big one, and you miss it, you can't just go there. Because if you go there, you might just be something. So I just want to be honest with the committee to say, we're trying, all these things that we're trying to do, we are being extra careful because we have been a big problem with the project. So trying to move in there, I mean, there are questions that are actually being raised by Honorable Kuhn, the issue of land, those are the issues that are under discussion. There are issues that were raised by the committee. How do you work with local government, the province, and hence this meeting that has happened between the DG and the DG in the Premier's office? Because that's where the Royal Trust, the Royal Household Trust, resides. How are we then going to be working forward to deal with this? So I'm just trying to say that we are not necessarily you know, dragging our feet, but we're trying to ensure that when we go down for the second, attack, it's a successful one. Because if it doesn't become successful, some of us might not survive. So again, I'm just trying to explain that it's not an easy project, as we have explained to the committee, but we are trying the best that we can to follow all the necessary steps to ensure that when it's done, it's done.
Okay, I think what I really would like to understand, but okay, they understand what you are saying. But like, I mean, what did you, okay, he is handling this at that level. But Tina, the other officials, say to the municipality, if this happens in this manner, what's your take as a municipality? If it comes to you, and you know, from that point the DG tries to cause the processes at local level, if it said, okay, it's fine, it can happen, you can hand this over to a local municipality, that work is done already. You don't have to wait. Yeah, but it's done concurrently. I don't know, because I feel that it is going to drag if we want to have one meeting succeed, we go to another. While they are doing their thing there, Tina,
yeah,
we are just finding, you know, we're finding a consensus on the ground. If this would happen, would you buy it as a municipality? Would you be involved? How would it happen? District, about the water tank, how would working, you know, how would it be if we give this to you so that you maintain it? Because as a department, we would not have the budget to do that, to maintain it, but it's assisting the community around it. You are preparing the ground so that when it happens there, it's done here. So that by the end of the financial year, Abu Kondo is a lady, this is what he says. And again, because so good in hand, and you're getting cool. So this is what we want as a consultant. This is what we want as the portfolio committee. In the pleasure, because what we have said is that by the end of this financial year, because it was not in your books in the first place, you need to be done with it. And we don't want you to just throw it and say, hey, we are done. But you have, you leave it, because we spent money. You leave it servicing the community where it is situated. And you doing your groundwork while the DG is doing the work at the higher level. So that when it's done there, it goes on. 31st March, it's done. It's not going to be in your books anymore because it belongs to those areas, to those levels of the municipality.
No, Chair, in fact, all the things that the Chair has said, meeting with the district and meeting with the municipality, those meetings happened long before. And you would recall that at some point, we were even beginning to say that we could take the Ngonyama Trust route. But then we were advised again to say it would rather, because within the Premier's office, there is a Royal Household Trust, which takes care of projects that have to do with the Royal Family. And hence now, the latest interventions and discussions with that particular structure, because it's the structure that can then ensure that in perpetuity it takes care of this particular facility. Of course, working with the local municipality and district. So that's what maybe we did not factor in our report. Yeah.
Why?
I struggle to believe you. You know why, Nathalie?
Yes.
Yeah. There are problems of ICT in the municipality. And if you say, unless you want to say there's an agreement with the district municipality that they can take the project, and that should be reflected in the IDP, even if it lacks funding. so that when the DG at that level, like strike the ox, then it's in the IG.
Honorable Makonde, I was not saying that the municipality wanted to take over or take full responsibility for maintenance. But the engagement with municipalities is rather about the services. You know, the services that will be required by this facility. That they are prepared, once everything has been resolved, to actually ensure that there is water and all other things that are required. But they've never said that they would take responsibility for maintenance in perpetuity. That's why I'm saying that it's the Royal Household Trust that is likely them to take over the
country. Now, what is your way forward in that investment?
My way forward, or our way forward, is that we need to finalize the matter of the Royal Household Trust taking over, producing a business plan in terms of how they're going to ensure that they finish the project, how they're going to maintain the project once it's been finalized, how they're going to operationalize the project in terms of operations, because the department is not going to be able to do that. So that's our way forward in terms of just agreeing on those specific issues.
And when do you intend taking that forward to?
Look, as I indicated in the report, there's already the discussions in terms of the MOUs and the discussions between the two DGs is already ongoing. We were hoping that by the beginning of April, May, we should have at least gotten some kind of an agreement in terms of how this matter is going to be.
Thank you.
Samora Machel, Honorable Makonde. I know the frustration there, but I think we need to do things right. The fact that the site was built in 2006, it's already had a structural problem. There are even issues of structural integrity being compromised. Now, if you want to reinforce the structure, you need to then first and foremost understand the how the structure was. And you can only understand that by actually having to design and the plans and photos, which are not available at the moment. In fact, when we were doing the 30th anniversary in 2016, this matter was raised. And we then started also talking to the Department of Public Health to say, let them assist us in this. So that's why we were saying that one of the matters, I mean, we have a wide range of projects that we are implementing to TPW. Now, this is one of them. And the meeting that was supposed to happen on the 28th was actually going to begin to address one of these issues in terms of how do we then take the processes forward. So it's not like we are not having a view. We have a very clear view. We actually respect the site. It's a site that actually shows that kind of bonds of friendship between the liberation movement in South Africa and Mozambique. Now, the issue of repatriation that you have raised quite sharply it's one of those projects that are in the making. We already have draft policy. So the policy is in the making, looking at repatriation of human remains, repatriation of cultural property. So that's what we are currently doing.
How far is it?
It's in a draft, very, very rough draft form, Chairperson, so that we can actually make it available.
Do you have a deadline where it should be airport?
Chairperson, we took it in terms of our APP. We didn't take it to, I think it's 20, let me see, and I was a capital, it's 2018, 2019, 2020. 1920, yeah, because of the conductive process, we still feel that we need to embark upon. The most sensitive and intricate part of this is where the repatriation of human remains are involved, but also the working between us and the Department of Military Veterans, because there is a working relationship there. But also, just to come back to the issue of cultural property, like your heritage object, I heard Honorable Makondo saying that countries are willing to bring back those properties. I can tell you, they're not. I mean, there are cases internationally where matters have been discussed. Getting back to 1937 and whatever, it's a big issue, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't, strive for it. But I just wanted to clarify that matter, Mr. Makondo, that people hold on to the property that is their property when it's not.
No, Chair, I just want to assert that it's not about giving it back. They are being bought back, and they are. That's what other countries are doing to get the repatriation of their artifacts. They are being bought back.
And just to say, honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, that really, look, I don't know how government works, because even when in my province, I would say that you don't encounter a situation three times and you don't see a need for a policy. When you repatriate people today, tomorrow, the other day, it means that you need a policy to do this. And you keep on doing it without having a policy. On what basis are you doing this? So this is my take on this matter, that we need to have the policy so that all the things that we are doing, we are not doing favor to anybody, but we are responding to a policy that is there. Because if you don't have a policy, the danger is that it relies on you, on your attitude on that day. If I feel that I'm fine, so because the wind can do whatever, then I'm safe. But if I'm not in the mood, I'm like, oh no, it can't happen today. But if there's a policy that's telling me how this should be done, it's a policy. This doesn't depend on my mood. So that's why Eastern Cape, we made it a point that we do this. Because it can't be done right without a policy being there. Because on what basis, if you do it, on what basis are you doing it? So I think it's important for us to ensure that we do. And as Hussein Dumas said, it's a process. There are a lot of people that have to be consulted, that have to be involved in this. And you need to say, if I'm saying this month in 2019 or whatever, this is what I be doing. You move back what? You say this is the day of the policy where we think we need to have this policy. You move back what and have a program that's going to be a roadmap towards you achieving your target.
Thank you, Chair, and the Honorable Member. On the Kono matter, the Department of Public Works initiated a project in 2013, which is called a condition-based maintenance project. They started by doing the condition assessment, what needs to be done, and also that project is included the replacement of the sewer system. They appointed consultants, they've been working on the documentation to advertise until they finalized the documentation and presented the project execution plan, given the time frame. They had over a site date was March 2017. So the museum, they planned to vacate the museum so that they can then oversight it to the contractor. They vacated, but unfortunately due to the public works delays, the contractor till today is still not on site.
because now there are activities that are supposed to happen in Kuno. That is why we decided as the department together with the museum just to do a rescue plan interim arrangement so that we can open the Kuno. So that is why you see the date May 2018. So we went on site, identified the areas which you know we can quickly fix so that the museum can open on the 10th of May. These areas are part of the bigger project, so even the funding is still from the same budget. So we've taken some of the areas, and then like plumbing, the Amatola water issues, which are related to the sewer system also, and also issues that are related to health and safety. So those are the issues that we have identified so that we can open the museum on the 10th. We met last week, Public Works has approved, because we requested them to also, you know, shorten the tender processes. Of course, deviations, they need approval. So I guess last week, Friday, they also gave us the approval that they received the deviation to shorten the processes. Hopefully things will go according to plan, knowing Public Works is Public Works. Also the issue of the budget and the Amatola water, because what was happening, because the site was going to be handed over in March, also the Amatola water was stopped maintaining the sewer system. So now they appointed them and they given us an assurance in writing that they will be there until the site now is handed over to the bigger contract. So that is what is happening. The 21 million song is based on the priority needs which were submitted by the museum to the budget processes and the infrastructure plan, which is called the user asset management plan. And then most of these projects were started by also Department of Public Works, for example, the rebuilding of the Swahim. And the department could not approve those estimates which were developed by the Department of Public. For example, rebuilding, you've seen the Swahim. Rebuilding the Swahim, it was like more than 50 million. So again, the song submitted the request and then looked at the areas, you know, which can be funded and, you know, done. So those estimates are based on those processes which were started by the Department of Public Works. But now we have to cut some of the additional areas. For example, rebuilding the Swahim, I'm sure it won't cost us more than 5-10 million, but then the estimates were more than that. So we have to cut some of the areas because they added like the halls and other things that were not there initially.
This is the type of, you know, information that we need so that we are clear of what is actually happening, especially in places where we have been, because we look at going and see 4 million and we're like, what is it going to do then? You know, so I think it's important for us to get that information.
I should come back.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And I think I need to respond to the issues at NAC that were raised by all Honorable members. After the investigation was done, Honorable Chair, Minister then referred, then engaged the Chair of the Board to say this is a matter. And if you have to do an investigation, we are giving you to deal with ABCDE. Then the chair then closes the report that came. But Minister was still not happy with the report that came from the board, from the council. And subsequent to that, Minister instructed that the department should then
conduct its own internal investigation on the Layela project and also on the, and whether there was no conflict of interest when the Osara was dealt with. Currently, there is an investigation that is going to be concluded by the 31st March 2017. As Minister, he has been in contact with the chairperson to say you need to give and institute disciplinary measures because the CEO is appointed by the board. So the board must take, the council must take decisions and deal with those issues. But when you look for information, that no, we are still dealing with the case of the art development manager because the art manager is the one that looks at the application. So we are progressively dealing with it, you know. So it's not working. So we are getting the report at the end of the month. And that report, like we did with other entities like NFDX, with clear recommendations, this is what needs to happen. But I must indicate that the councils at times are reluctant to take decisions. They want you to come on board and compare, but I'm saying, you are the one. The overpayment, they didn't have to have recouped that money from the CEO. It's above 5% that they are calling. They should have recouped the additional amount. It's no, I mean, if I'm overpaid, government immediately, they tell me and they recoup. And I make arrangement, whether you take it in 6 months or in 3 months. So why is there a delay in recouping the issue? So those are issues every day we write to the chairperson. And the chairperson must, you know, but we will then have to follow up on the issue of recouping the money. Where are they recouping? It's something that the department will have to follow up. But there is a independent forensic report that will be part of the department just to settle this matter on NHC. Because we are in the papers last week regarding And the other issue
when the chairperson did investigation, was he paid money to do so? Is there any money that was paid to the chairperson to do the investigation?
We are informed that his company, his firm, was appointed to do the investigation. So that is what we are getting, but we need to verify the validity of that chairperson. So as DAC, with our internal audit and forensic unit, we are, because it's easy to get a company and its profile. What we are doing, we are going to get information which company did the investigation, and our forensic unit will take it through that, because that is serious conflict of interest and it's unethical.
Tell me, how are we going to resolve this? I get an explanation that you are giving. It's fine. You have got a board that is responsible for an entity, and something goes wrong, and the board is out, but they are reluctant to act. Besides that, the chairperson is with his company to investigate. That defies the board, but there is a transgression. Two. One, the issue of recouping the money. Secondly, the issue of funding a project that was not supposed to be funded. Then you have got a board that doesn't act. And that board, it's fulfilling the fiduciary duties of the mayor. What do we do? What do you do?
Honorable Makondo, if the board is found wanting, the minister would have to dissolve the board that did not function. Then if the board is found wanting, and it has, this is why minister has dissolved the other board, like the pencil board. It was dissolved because it was found wanting and not being able to fulfill its mandate. So based on the report that we were receiving, minister, was it the report A? Then the decision will have to be taken regarding the board. But on the issue, the other issue, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, on the legal cases at PACOS, I did talk to the chair. You need to resolve these matters around litigation. But we note the recommendation by the portfolio committee that we will then communicate the recommendations that are coming here. But the information regarding whether the matter is a CCMA or the bar court will come back to the portfolio committee with that information once we have verified the information. But the other matters can be cancelled, like the reconciliation project.
Do you know how much was paid?
To the firm.
We
understand that the firm...
90,000.
Yeah. Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. With regards to the time that we allocate towards appointing the board, we start 6 months before the end of term. And indeed, the plan is so that we appoint a board, and the newly appointed board is able to meet without going one and hand over to explain. It's unfortunate that in some cases, for example, with the ones that we minister appointed end of November, we started around April. And currently we are in the process. We've already started appointing councillors for Freedom Park National Museum and KZN Museum, and the term is coming to an end 31st of August, but we've already started the process. With regards to the reconciliation bridge between, I don't know whether I think it's for both entities. For the Blood River Monument, Norman, and Freedom Park, and for the Monument. The department, because there were challenges with the maintenance of the road, particularly from the side of Blood River Monument to Freedom Park, the department then made funding available for the maintenance of these two bridges. There were meetings between the four entities, and agreements were signed between the four entities in terms of managing the opening and the closing of the gate. There were challenges with regards to Blood River and Norman, with some resistance from the Blood River side in terms of opening the bridge for access. But we've since been, we've had meetings with the two entities. And I would report that up until last year, October, we've had cordial relations and the two entities are working together. And also just to inform members and chair that we've also made funding available for this coming financial year, and letters have been sent to the entities to inform them of. So the allocation for the maintenance of the two bridges will actually be in their permanent baseline allocation. With regards to Mvezo, Chairperson and Honourable Members, you will note that indeed during the oversight visit, this came up as an issue because the issue was raised that what do we call Nelson Mandela Museum? Is it a three-legged, I remember Chair actually used that word, is it a three-legged entity or not? Previously, the department had led discussions
And one other way that the department thought would also be will be a way to resolve these tensions was to include the family into the council. But I must state to the honourable members and chair that we unfortunately have not actually had yield any success in terms of the attendance of the family. In the previous council, we had a member of the family, I think he attended just the induction workshop that we had and never attended any other meetings. And we then, in appointing this new council, we actually wrote a letter to the family to say, can they give us a representative so that it doesn't look like the department has earmarked a person, but that we should have somebody who will represent the family. And again, unfortunately, we have not had any response. We have not had any representation to date from the family. However, the council has taken upon itself to engage the Mbezo Traditional Council with regards to the matter. Yes. So they've had meetings, and I know that they're having a meeting this month with the Traditional.
On the Windy Brow Theatre, Windy Brow is now a site of Market Theatre. The case of the ex-CEO and the ex-CFO is still with the court. We'll have to follow up because the criminal cases were open against the two of them. Honorable.
Thank you very much. And now we went past one. And we would like to thank the department. I still have a lot of questions, things that I've marked here, but maybe those questions will follow. And we will communicate the questions to the department. But can you, department, come closer to Robben Island? Come closer to Robben Island, because there is a lot that is happening there. And as the portfolio committee, we're also planning to have an oversight there. But there's a lot that is coming in, that whoever is assigned to be in that entity must come closer to it. There was something in the paper, which paper was it? On Friday. I don't know whether you've seen it. Yeah, so look into that and there's more. But what I do now, when the entities call me or whoever calls me to say, this is what is happening. I say communicate to the department because I'm not employed by the department. So I want to do their work for them, communicate with the department. So I think it's important for you to look closely at Robben Island. Hey, I'm a dancer, because it's never ending. It goes on and on and on. But we appreciate the presentation and the interaction. And we will communicate with the department. But look at the issue of this meeting with chairs and deputy chairs, and if you can do that as soon as you can, so that we can be able to close off the thing in a dignified, professional manner. Even if we call it, we will call you, and we don't want it to be like that. It would be better for you to say, we're coming back to account for those issues that were raised and just invite us to be part of that.
Thank you, Chair. One of the ministers mentioned that he will be meeting them perfectly. We will also be having a shareholders' complex where they sign their contract. We sign what is in the APP to say this is what they will implement on the 13th of April. We will liaise with the Minister's office. If that day could also be one of the days that the Honourable Member joined us.
Because we would really appreciate it, but we wanted to take the form, you know, that we had today so that it's seen as the continuation and conclusion. Yeah, it would be good to have that form. Maybe get a part morning session where we are going to have this and then
saying the movement.
To, yes.
To have those chairs and deputy chairs is very important for us, so that we close it off properly. So that at the end, they don't say you started something and you never finished. So we would like to thank you very much for your cooperation. The meeting is now adjourned.